It's great to see you all. I've been away for quite a bit over the summer. Just to reassure you, I wasn't fired. I didn't just leave without saying goodbye. I was on placement. So I was on placement for a few weeks in Weston-super-Mare in another church. And then I had a lovely couple of weeks in Pembrokeshire on holiday. I don't know about you, but I have this little kind of ritual when I'm on holiday. Maybe you've got your own little rituals. And one of the things I love doing is finding a piece of art from the local area to remind me of the holiday. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It could just be a little piece of pottery, or it could be a little kind of print of a piece of art. And so on this holiday, as always, I scavenged the shops to look for some artwork. And I was in Pembroke itself, and I found this lovely art shop. And the art shop was filled with these incredible watercolour prints, and they all looked very similar, so you could tell they were all by the same artist. And I was particularly drawn to one that was of a beach, Broadhaven Beach. Anyone been to that in South? Oh, yes, a few people. It's so nice, isn't it? Gorgeous beach. And so I asked the guy behind the desk, can you tell me something about the artist? And he said, I am the artist. I was like, oh, great. So I had this really cool opportunity to ask him about his process, about his work. And it turned out, yes, he definitely was a proper artist. He was very passionate about his work. And he described to me the way that he gets locked into a room and he can be painting all day. And he'll suddenly kind of wake up from the kind of trance of the detail of his work. And he's like, oh, I haven't eaten all day. I haven't had a break. He was really cool. And so when I look now at this piece of artwork, I can see that artist and his character and his nature and his passion for his work in the art. And in the same way, in the Genesis account, we see God pouring himself into every part of creation. God is like the master artist of the whole creation. And so is it any surprise that when we walk in God's creation, we feel a sense of connectedness to the Creator? When we walk in the, and we see the sunset, when we look and we see all the stars, we feel drawn to God. And is it any wonder that humans who exist in a culture that is becoming increasingly sterilized and industrialized and computerized, that more and more we are suffering in so many ways with our physical health and our mental health. Even farmers in the UK, as we talked about in the prayers, these are people who probably have a deep sense of wanting to be connected to the earth, and yet apparently statistically 92% of farmers under the age of 40 in the UK have serious mental illness because of the drive to the more intensive, industrialized work and making a living from the earth. Isn't that sad? The posture of humans is becoming increasingly more and more curled over our computers and our screens, under pressure, under the drivenness to succeed, so that what we behold and give our attention to, rather than the beauty of creation that brings us life, is more and more behind a screen. And so the image I have for us this morning is of an unfurling, like a fern up towards the sunlight. And perhaps you can recognize some of this feeling of being curled over in your own life under the pressure to be monetized, and your time is monetized, the stress of it, of our time and our attention being stolen away. And so what we're going to do is we're going to think about two truths, spiritual truths, that Scripture tells us about creation. The first is that creation is good. The second is that creation is God's. And then we're going to think about, how does this impact us? How would this transform our spiritual practices? How could we unfurl, as it were? So even now, I just want to encourage you to be present. You're in a miracle of existence right here, right now. You are here, sitting here in this place. So if you have any tension in your shoulders, relax. If you have tension in your jaw, relax. In your forehead. We have so much stress, don't we, on the muscles around our head. Relax and breathe. So the first thing that Scripture tells us about creation is that creation is good. We had the Genesis account of creation read to us very beautifully. And these narratives are a bit like the genre of revelation that we've been going through, in that they're seeking to describe spiritual truths. The first spiritual truth is God declaring over and over and over and over again, it was good. You may or may not know, but there are lots of other ancient Near Eastern creation mythologies, creation accounts. And in lots of these accounts, there's this kind of story of a cosmic battle between the gods and the cosmic forces of darkness that are evil. So there's this big fight in these ancient Near Eastern narratives. In Genesis, there's nothing sinister or evil in the beginning. It says the Spirit of God was hovering, was brooding over the waters. It's this image of anticipation of the birthing of something beautiful and amazing. And there's a similar passage in Job, Job 38. God is describing to Job the vastness and majesty of his creation. And he says this, "Who shut in the seas with doors? When it burst forth from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band." So there's this image of God birthing this beautiful creation. And the image of swaddling there is an ancient Near Eastern practice of deep care for the child when it's born. It was this idea that as the baby came out of the kind of coziness and warmth and embrace of the womb, they wrapped it in bands to kind of hold it close. That swaddling image, God demonstrating his deep care for his creation because creation is good. Some of us may still have kind of remnants of this bad theology. I had it a while ago. It was kind of taught to me that what is physical is temporary, what is spiritual is good, and therefore what is physical around us doesn't really matter because it's not going to last. What matters really is our spirits within us. When I was at theological college, I was in the library, as a good student does, and I was reading some books on social justice. And this other very fervent student came up to me with another book, and he said, "Social justice is a waste of time. It's a complete distraction because what matters is that we save souls for heaven." And that's actually terrible theology. It's not biblical. It's actually more akin to that kind of Greek philosophy of Platonism and Gnosticism that says that the physical world is inherently evil and that we're souls trapped inside this evil physical body and we need to escape up to heaven. But the Bible teaches creation is good. And like us, creation has been subjected to frustration. Romans says creation groans in eager expectation, just as we do, for the return of Christ and the restoration of all things. There's this expression, isn't there, that creation is cruel. I did share this at the 9 o'clock, and I will share it again. I've got two cats. They really upset me because they are cruel. And one thing the little kitten started doing, she's not really a kitten anymore, she started bringing in butterflies, of all things. And they're no longer butterflies, they are butterwalks. She eats the wings off, then they're walking around my house. It's so sad, it's very cruel, and it devastates me. If anyone wants a cat, you're welcome to have her. I'm serious. But the Bible prophesies, yes, creation is groaning, it's anticipating, it's eagerly awaiting, it's recreation, it's restoration. Isaiah 65 says, "The wolf and the lamb will graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. They will do no evil or harm in my holy mountain," says the Lord. Last week we heard from Tim about the future hope of the new heaven and the new earth in the book of Revelation. So in complete opposition to those other philosophies, not only will creation be restored, but it will become once more God's place to dwell, to walk among us. Revelation 21 says, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them." So how can this understanding of creation as good change our lives? How will it help us to unfurl, to transform our spiritual practices? And the first thing I think is that we need to reconnect. I want to encourage you today, we've got our harvest lunch later, there'll be hot soup. Enjoy the soup. Like, don't just rush through it, just be grateful for that moment. I'd encourage you as an experiment, stand outside and look at a tree for 1 whole minute. Or look at a plant for for one whole minute. See what happens to the pace of your breathing. See what happens to the thoughts whirring around your mind and your anxiety. I pretty much guarantee you'll notice a difference. And maybe you can connect with God in God's good creation. Chris Packham, someone on TV, he's just done a documentary called Is It Time to Break the Law? I've not yet seen it. It's all about climate change and fighting for climate change. I really want to see it. He is someone, I don't know what his faith is. I don't know where he's at with God. But he is someone I really admire because he apparently can walk through a forest blindfolded. And he can tell every species of tree just by listening to the sound the leaves make when the wind blows through them. Isn't that incredible? Jesus walked slowly on this earth with great attention to every encounter. He restored Peter at sunrise. He cooked fresh fish. He tasted, he smelt the smoke on the fire. There's a physicality to his loving embrace. Our spirituality is bread and wine. It's the smell of the bluebells in the spring. It's the sound of the crunching ice under our feet in the winter. We've just had the autumn equinox, which is when there's equal amounts of day and night. And now I guess we can all feel that we're beginning to head into those darker, darker days with a bit of dread maybe. I wonder if another kind of spiritual truth could be that we might face into the seasons in our life. Because every season is a gift in some way. Actually, it's quite a hard one to think about. I don't particularly like it. But I wonder if we need to resist the temptation to numb ourselves against the seasons of life and embrace them with Jesus. Ecclesiastes says, for everything there is a season, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. Jesus had times of wilderness. He had times of abundance. He had seasons of Sabbath and deep rest. He had seasons where he was surrounded by hundreds and thousands of people, teaching crowds, multiplying food, doing great miracles. He had seasons of celebration where he turned water into wine. And for a season, he set his face towards Jerusalem. What season are you going through right now? Do you need someone to walk alongside you in this season? Do you need to invite Jesus into the season you are facing and face it with him? So that's the first spiritual truth. Creation is good. How do we reconnect with God's good creation? And how do we then reconnect with God and with ourselves in this moment, in this time, in this season? And the second spiritual truth, this one's a bit shorter, is creation is God's. Creation belongs to God. Colossians 1 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. And then it says, all things have been created through him and for him. One of the biggest errors, I think, in theology historically is this idea that creation was for us to dominate, to rule over, to consume. The colonial Christianity used Genesis to justify all sorts of atrocities. US Senator Beveridge in the 1900s says that America was chosen by God to bring civilization to the whole world. There was this belief that humans had been given authority by God to rule over and consume the earth. The Industrial Revolution was supposed to enhance our living, to enhance our life, and in fact, it's actually caused more poverty across the world than ever before, probably, and serious harm and perhaps irreversible harm to our planet. The truth in Scripture is that creation is God's, and just like that China tea set, he expects us to care for it, to steward it well. I'm sorry about my acting earlier, by the way, I just couldn't do it. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If we go to the book of Job, there's this incredible moment where God speaks out of the whirlwind and he talks about the expanse of his creation. It's really humbling. He goes, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth?" Creation is God's. How arrogant we have been to think that creation is ours to use up. He entrusted us to care for it, to live within it and enjoy it, not to abuse it. So if that's the second spiritual truth, creation is God's, how then that might that change our attitude towards the earth? How might that change our kind of unfurling and lifting up of our eyes? I hope, obviously, that we would care for creation. I hope that's the first thing that we learn. But I think there's more. I think there's way more we could be learning about God's creation and more about God that we could understand through his creation. I think as Christians, we need to stop bemoaning the fact that we have a lack of resources or that somehow Christianity isn't relevant in today's society, because we have an abundance. Just look around us. We have an abundance of resource because all things in heaven and on earth and under the earth belong to God, to our Almighty God. So what a great resource. What a great resource to connect people to God through his creation. And that's what Jesus did. I was reminded this week that the Hebrew word for Adam is Adamah, which means the earth. In Genesis 2, there's this picture of God forming the human from the dust and then breathing life into their nostrils. So we have there this image of us as the temple, physical, living, breathing temples of God breathed, of the Holy Spirit, fully part of this earth and fully called to usher in heaven on earth. I'm going to finish now with a story. So feel free to get into that lovely relaxed posture again. And you can, if you want to, close your eyes. You don't have to. And it's a story from the 1950s by Maurice Nicole. So it's got some 1950s references. And some people have used it again, and they've called it acornology. Once upon a time, in a not so faraway land, there was a kingdom of acorns nestled at the foot of a grand old oak tree. Since the citizens of this kingdom were modern, fully westernized acorns, they went about their business with purposeful energy. And since they were midlife baby boomer acorns, they engaged a lot in self-help courses. There were seminars called Getting All You Can Out of Your Shell. There were woundedness and recovery groups for acorns who had been bruised in the original fall from the tree. There were spas for oiling and polishing those shells, and various acornopathic therapies to enhance longevity and well-being. One day, in the midst of this kingdom, there suddenly appeared a knotty little stranger, apparently dropped out of the blue by a passing bird. He was capless and dirty, making an immediate negative impression on his fellow acorns. And crouched beneath the oak tree, he stammered out a wild tale. Pointing upward at the tree, he said, "We are that." Delusional thinking. Obviously, the acorns concluded. But one of them continued to engage him in conversation. "So tell us, how would we become that tree?" "Well," he said, pointing downward, "it has something to do with going into the ground and cracking open the shell." "Insane," they responded, "totally morbid. Why then? We wouldn't be acorns anymore." Creation is good. Creation is God's. Let's learn to reconnect, to unfurl, to connect with God in God's good creation, and to remember that we are created to be physical signs of the kingdom here on earth. We're going to pray now. I'm going to invite, I don't know if Dan's here, but I'm going to, he's coming in a minute. And we're just going to spend a moment just praying, just inviting the Holy Spirit. and let's see what God might say. So feel free to open out your hands in just readiness to receive from God. You don't have to, but it's just a sign of saying, yeah, I'm here, God, I'm ready, whatever you want to say. And let's invite the Holy Spirit to come.